Psalm 134, behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord hath made heaven and earth. Bless thee out of Zion. You can be seated. Please pray with us and pray for us this morning. Father, I'm grateful this morning for the privilege to stand in the house of God today. Thankful, Lord, that not only is my body here today, but my heart is here. And I'm thankful, God, for the fullness that you place in our heart. Lord, this book is precious. It's exactly what we need in this evil day that we're standing in. And I pray, dear Father, today that you'd take the message, make it a blessing in the hearing of thy people. God, I just pray today that there's a man, a woman, a boy, a girl here that doesn't know you. God, this might be the day. Lord, you're coming after your church. And Lord, only the redeemed, only the born again are going to get to go. And I pray, Lord, today for that one that's lost. I pray, Lord, for that child of God. Maybe there's some coldness in their heart, Lord. It seems like there's a distance between them and you. I pray, God, that you would renew that warmth and that spirit. And Lord, today that might be the day that they just rededicate their life. And Lord, that you might kindle that fire once again. Lord, one of the songwriters years ago wrote, "The flame has flickered, but the fire has never gone out." Truly, Lord, if a person's ever been born again, the fire has never gone out. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. All of God's people said, amen. Amen. There's no way. I've been preaching now for several weeks, and I don't have it written down in front of me, but I've been preaching a series of messages entitled Standing in the Evil Day. I remember it started at the cross. We stood at the cross. And I remember some of the messages. We stood on top of the mountain with Aaron and Hur and Moses. We stood by the well with Eliezer. Amen. There's different places. We stood in humility last Sunday morning. And then we stood there in the court with Esther last Sunday night. There's probably 9 or 10 messages already. And I don't want to ride the horse to death, but when God quits, I'll quit, and I ain't quitting until he does. Amen. Today I want to preach on standing in the house of God in the evil day. I believe there is much consensus that we're living in an evil day. Man is calling right wrong and wrong right. Amen. Lots of things are going on that are just plain old wickedness, amen. I mean, you can watch somebody just walk up and hit somebody in the back of the head and knock them out for no good reason whatsoever, amen. But we're living in an evil day. But I'm glad that I have a country where we don't have to go underground. We don't have to hide our Bible. We can still have a sign down at the road that says Bible Way Baptist Church. If we're not careful, we'll take for granted, amen, the freedoms that we have. We can still bow our heads in public and pray over our meal, pray together. And I'm thankful for those freedoms that we enjoy. I do believe they're under attack. I do believe with a lot of people in America that God's people are just in the way. And they would just soon us be out of the way. And it ain't going to be long. And our Lord's going to oblige them. He's just going to come and hey, we're going to hear a trumpet. And he said in the Revelation, come up hither. And when he does, I'm a-going. Amen. He said, Pastor, why do you labor? Why do you preach? Why do you study? I could wrap it up in this. I want you to go with me. I've read about it. I believe it's wonderful. And I want you to go with me, amen. Amen. I appreciate you this morning. Behold, bless you the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. In Psalm 135, the next psalm in verse number 2, ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Someone might say, now, Pastor, that's Old Testament scripture. You know, over there, the house of God was different than it is today. Well, let me read you a verse in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 3:15 said, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Amen. I was reading last week about this fellow that liked to go to the if he was a sinner man, he went to the beach, but if he was a Christian man, he went to the coast. But anyway, he'd go down there and he'd build these elaborate sandcastles. And there was a group of four or five men that were just mean as snakes. And those men would come along and they would just tear it down, just kick it down and laugh and joke and after the hour upon hour upon hours of labor that man put into it. Well, one day that man got up real early. And what he did, he took some rocks that he had found and some cinder blocks, and he put them in the foundation. And he covered them up with sand, and he built the castle. When they kicked that morning, glory to God, there's an application here. The world's a kicking at the church. But honey, God's church is built on a rock. And you can kick all you want to. All you're going to do is break your toes. Amen. I sure would have liked to have had a video running, amen, when they hauled off and kicked that foundation on that castle, wouldn't you? Amen. But thank God tonight we can stand in the house of God in the evil day. I'm going to try to hurry this morning, but just by way of introduction, let me give you a few things. Number one, Jesus is the foundation of his church. He said, upon this rock, he is the foundation. The Bible said, other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, that which is Jesus Christ. The world's full of religions, and the world is full of religious people, but only the church is leaving here in the rapture because it's built on the right foundation, upon the rock. Jesus is building his church. He said, upon this rock, I will build my church. The word of God said we're laborers together with God, but I tell you, we need to never forget. One man waters, another man sows, another man waters, but it's God that gives the increase. You and I can't do anything. We can't even breathe without him. In him we live and move and have our being, and Jesus is building his church. Jesus on the cross of Calvary purchased the eternal redemption of his church. The Bible said in Hebrews 9:12, neither by blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. I'm telling you, beloved, there's a group of people in the world today that are very religious, like the Pharisees. They don't like bloody preaching. They don't like bloody singing. They don't like the blood. But I'm telling you, beloved, listen, if you go to heaven, you'll go because a Savior shed his blood on Calvary's cross. And you put your trust in that Savior. His name is Jesus. Amen. Jesus, I like this, is in the midst of his church. You say, Pastor, you can't say that. Yes, I can. The Bible said where two or three, let's get a survey going this morning, are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Did anybody gather in the name of Jesus this morning? Well, that's enough already. Rest of you is asleep. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, God said, Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. He's in the midst of his church. Let me give you this. Jesus is coming again for his church. The Bible said, let not your heart be troubled. I believe I just want to be part of the church. I'm glad I am part of the church. Amen. I'm talking about the church of the living God. The church that to get in it, you must be born from above. You must be born again.
Let not your heart be troubled. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. He went, didn't he? Amen. They said when he went, said, ye men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus whom you've seen ascend into heaven will so come in like manner. He's coming again. Amen. He said, I'll go and prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus is the bridegroom of his church. The Revelation calls him the Lamb's wife. I'm glad, thank God, listen, the bride is fixing to meet the bridegroom. Yeah, listen, we had homecoming. It was a wonderful day, a wonderful food. But you ain't never seen a homecoming like it's fixing to happen in heaven. Say amen. I'm telling you, beloved, all the saints of God are going to meet, amen, around the table of our Lord Jesus Christ at the marriage of the Lamb. And then Jesus is worshipped by his church. The word of God said, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I appreciate the Lord. I appreciate the church. I want to stand in the church in this evil day. Amen. Stand. I want to be found standing in the house of God. I'm going to give you three things today in the message quickly. And then we'll just get out of the way. Amen. Come back tonight for choir practice and the evening service. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Psalm chapter 27. The first thing I see in a believer's life is a desire for the house of God. Beloved, let me say this to you. You're in trouble if you have no desire for the house of God. If somebody has to wrangle you and make you come to the house of God, I said, you're in trouble. Amen. I'm telling you, we stopped yesterday, Sister Patsy, over at the Hobnob on our way home. You say, what for? My wife and I have been trying to watch what we eat. I mean, we've been doing all right at it. She's been doing better than I have. But I just decided I wanted some of that ice cream. I wanted one of them twist cones. Honey, I'm telling you, there wasn't nobody twisting my arm to pull in there. I went in there and waited in line for 15 minutes just to place an order and waited another 15 minutes on two ice cream cones. That place was covered up. You say, Pastor, why is that place covered up? I tell you why, there's a desire. Amen. They set that stuff up there on the counter, them French fries covered in cheese. I never seen so much cheese in all my life. Them onion rings covered in cheese. I thought, boy, this is a cheesy place around here, amen. But I want you to know this, beloved. I looked in there, as people are grinning, Brother Randall, from ear to ear, as people are having a good time. You want to know why? It was a place that they desired. They wasn't nobody made them go. There's something there they wanted. Everybody's glad there's something in the house of God that God's people want. They want the truth. Amen. They want to meet with the Lord. They desire the good songs of Zion. And they desire the fellowship of God's people. They desire the things of God in the house of God. The Psalm of David said this, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Honey, I ain't in this thing for a week or two or a month or two. By the grace of God, amen, as long as I'm able. If that comes the day when I have to be wheeled in, wheel me in, hallelujah. I want to go to the house of the Lord, amen. Meet with God and meet with God's people. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. You say, Pastor, what's this got to do with standing in the evil day? My goodness, all you have to do is read that. Say amen. It's a good place to stand. There might be wickedness on every hand, but aren't you glad there's a covert in the storm? Aren't you glad there's a place to get in and out of the wickedness? Amen. A place where we can be in one mind, in one accord, worshiping the God of heaven that went to Calvary and gave his life for you and for me. There's a desire for the house of God. I wrote a few things down here and I'll move on. The Lord is my light and my salvation. First thing I'm going to tell you is it's personal. I ain't here because of something God did for you, Brother Dale. I believe God done something for you, brother. It comes out of you. Amen. Brother Jason, I ain't here because something God did for you. But you know what happens to be? He done the same thing for you. He done for me. He reached way, Brother Fred used to say, below the bottom for me that night and picked me up out of the muck and out of the mire. I'm telling you, it's personal. He's my light. He's my salvation. It's personal. I'm going to tell you, a lot of people go to church for somebody else. Sad. I'm telling you, beloved, you ought to go to church because he's done something for you. Because you love him. And you realize you love him because he first loved you. And then the word of God said here, whom shall I fear? It's peaceful. Beloved, to know, the songwriter said, it's so peaceful in the arms of the Lord. To know that anything that comes in my life has to run across God's desk first. Amen. You say, I don't believe that. You need to study the first chapter of the book of Job. Honey, the devil wanted Job. He wanted him bad, but he had to get permission. And let me tell you something right now. You say, well, Pastor, what if he gets permission? Then that just means God's up to something. Because the Bible said, and we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. It didn't say all things are good, but it did say all things are working together for good. Amen. I'm telling you, I don't want a stick of butter and chew on the end of it. I don't want a tablespoon of flour. I don't want no buttermilk all by itself. Good night. If I can't get it past my nose, why would I put it in my stomach? Amen. I don't want no baking soda all by itself, but give it to my wife, turn her loose about 15 minutes and another 15 minutes, they're coming out of the oven about that big around, and you can put some butter and honey and jelly on it, amen. It's a big old cat head biscuits. It's not good in and of itself, but put it all together. Honey, one day we're going to heaven, and we're going to understand that these things that God has allowed in our lives, he was just putting it together, and it's going to come out just right when you and I awake with his likeness. We're going to be just like Jesus. Hallelujah. He said, that don't excite me. That's because you have no desire to be like him now. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. It'll be exciting. It's peaceful. The Lord is the strength of my life. It's powerful. Say amen. You say, I just can. Well, God said you can. The Bible said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Amen. And then, beloved, it's practical. The Bible said, though a host should encamp against me, this will I be confident. I'm telling you, beloved, the house of God for the child of God is necessary and it works. Amen. It just works. It works. It's practical, beloved. And I thank God there's a desire for the house of God. Secondly, today, we're talking about standing in the house of God in the evil day. There's a dedication to the house of God. I mean this. Listen, I was thinking last night, somebody said, well, you're the pastor. You kind of have to be there. Well, I got to thinking about 10 years when I wasn't a pastor. I got to thinking about Miss Eve, the 6 months between churches that I wasn't a pastor. But you know where I was at? I was in the house of God. Amen. You say, Pastor, why were you in the house of God? Because I wanted to be in the house of God because my life was dedicated. Listen to me. I like this. My life was dedicated not so much to the house of God, but the God of the house. Y'all get that? If your life is dedicated to the God of the house, you'll want to go to his house. Amen. And you'll want to meet with him, and you'll want him to meet with you. And I thank God, beloved, the Bible said, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Honey, if you can't see this in the line of prophecy, we're living on the threshold of the coming of the Son of God, and the day is approaching. And God said we need to be encouraging one another, and even so much the more as you see the day approaching. We need the house of God in the evil day. Hebrews 3 and verse number 5. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. Beloved, listen, if you died today, what would they say about your record in the house of God? Amen. You say, Pastor, that's not something that we need to think about. Well, you better think about it. Because listen, you're not going to answer to me. You're not going to answer the Bible way. You're going to answer to the one that stretched out his arms and died on an old rugged cross. Amen. Show me a church where there's love, somebody said, and I will show you a church that is a power in the community. In Chicago a few years ago, a little boy attended a Sunday school that I know of. When his parents moved to another part of the city, the little fella still attended the same Sunday school. Although it meant a long, tiresome walk each way. A friend asked him why he went so far and told him that there were plenty of others just as good nearer his home. They may be as good for others, but not for me, was his reply. Why not? She asked. Because they love a fella over there, he replied. If only we could make the world believe that we loved them, there would be fewer empty churches and a smaller proportion of our population who never darken a church door. I'm telling you, beloved, God doesn't want us in the house of God just out of duty and just out of obligation. He wants us to be here because we love one another and because we love Him. And there's a community that's dying without God and going to hell. And we love them. Amen. How can we convince our community that we love them if we don't love one another and love the church? Well, the message has been okay so far, but it's fixing to get down where the rubber meets the road. Beloved, there's a desire for the house of God. I'll say this, if I didn't have a desire for the house of God, I would wonder, have I really been born again? Because I'm telling you, beloved, listen, it's a place that I desire to go. I delight in it. A dedication to the house of God. But then I want you to get a hold of this now. There's a deliverance in the house of God. And when I say that right there, the first thing somebody's going to think about is a sinner being saved. But that's not the way God's approaching this. There's a deliverance in the house of God. Let me read the text and you'll understand. For the time has come, this is 1 Peter 4:17, that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? I wrote this down as the Lord impressed upon my heart. I want to just stop and thank God for all the men of God that God put in my life that reared back and told me what I needed to hear with little or no regard for what I wanted to hear. You say, Pastor, you're going to thank God? I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't in God's house that God come along and said, you're on the wrong track, boy. How many Christians is in the room today? Raise your hand if you're a child of the living God. How many's ever got on the wrong track? How many's glad there's a Savior that says, hey, you belong to me. That's the devil's track. You ain't running the devil's track. You belong to me. Amen. Come over here, boy. Come over here, young lady. That's the devil's track. I'm glad we serve a God. He said judgment must first begin at the house of God. Beloved, we want to come to the house of God and look in the mirror of God's word and be excited about a God that loves us so much that won't let us go to ourselves, won't let us go to the world, won't let us go blow to the devil, but he'll help us to get back on the right track. Amen. Judgment must first begin in the house of God. In the evil day, we need to stand in the house of God. Let me read you something. I think you'll enjoy it. I hope you do. It might be a little bit challenging, but the Bible said something over there in 1 Peter, ye also as lively stones. That means living, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Let's do a little contrast here. Churches that are alive, expenses are almost always more than their income. Dead churches don't need much money. Churches that are alive may have some noisy children. Dead churches are quiet as a cemetery. Churches that are alive strongly support world missions. Dead churches keep the money at home. Churches that are alive are full of regular, cheerful givers. Dead churches are full of grudging tippers. Alive churches, they move ahead on prayer and faith. Dead churches only operate on sight. Churches that are alive, they welcome all classes of people. Dead churches, they just stick to their own kind. Churches that are alive, their members enthusiastically support the ministries. Dead churches don't have any ministries, just functions. Churches that are alive, their members look for someone they can help. Dead churches' members look for something to complain about. Churches that are alive, their members reach out to share their faith. Dead church members have not enough faith to share. I thought that's a pretty good contrast. Let me ask you something. You want to go to a church that's alive? Or do you want to go to a church that's dead? Amen. I traveled for 10 years with Rock of Ages Prison Ministry. I cannot tell you. I'm talking about when I was 45, 50 years old. That's a long time ago. I'm telling you, I can't tell you the number of churches where I went in and I was the youngest person on the property. There's something wrong. I said, there's something wrong. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, I've been in churches where it was a problem if a youngin' tracked red clay mud in on the carpet. If it's a problem, just point me to the mop bucket. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, we hadn't ought to be concerned so much about the red clay mud. We ought to be concerned about the heart. Amen. Of those that need the Lord. Amen. I want to ask you this question this morning. If every member was just like me, what kind of church would my church be? If every member was just like you, would it be a live church or would it be a dead church? I think that's a good question to ask. Say amen. I'm telling you, we need to stand in the house of God in the evil day. And the Word of God said, having done all to stand. I appreciate the Lord. I appreciate, beloved, His house. I appreciate His Word. I appreciate the songs of Zion. Amen. I'm glad I could sit there just as Laura was playing for the offering a while ago. I can't remember the song right off, but I was sitting there singing the words in my heart and in my mind. Amen. You say, what do you mean? It was familiar. It didn't necessarily make me want to do this with my foot, but it made me want to do something in my heart. It made me want to worship. Amen. The Lord of glory. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, I'm glad to belong to a church. When the choir gets up, it don't sound like a rock concert. Amen. I'm glad to belong to a church that's not ashamed to read the same Bible week after week after week after week after week. Ain't nothing wrong with the Bible. Something wrong with us. So we got to get in this old book. Judgment must first begin at the house of God. I'm glad to belong to a church where we're not ashamed to say, brother. Brad, I ain't knowed you long, but I believe with all my heart you're my brother, because we have the same Father. A time in our life when we met Jesus, And God placed us in his family. Amen. The Spirit of God birthed us into his family. Now we can say brother, and we can say sister. Now we can bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I've said this very often, and I believe it's true. I believe it's important. The house of God is important. Because if we're separated, how are we going to help each other? There are going to be some Sundays. This hasn't happened in a while. Some of y'all are slipping. There are going to be Sundays when you come in and the first word you get in the vestibule is, Pastor, you look tired. What a blessing. Maybe I'm just old, Brother Junior. Amen. Maybe it's not tired. Amen. What a blessing. But there are going to be some Sundays that your pastor is going to need to be encouraged. And there are going to be some Sundays you need to be encouraged. But if you're over yonder and I'm over here, then we don't get together. And how are we going to help each other along the way? I'm telling you, the book will encourage us. Amen. It'll encourage us to live right. We don't live right so we can go to heaven. We live right because we're well on our way and we love the Lord. Amen. We don't preach a work salvation, but we do preach a salvation that works. Amen. If you get it, as one old preacher said, if you get salvation, it's kind of like a measles. It'll break out on you somewhere. Amen. What's on the inside will come out. And beloved, there'll be joy, joy unspeakable and full of glory. I'm in this church. I thank God for our church. And amen. And I thank God, beloved, listen. When Brother Keith was here and other men, Brother Don has stood through the years, Brother Mitchell through the years, I can't tell you the times when God had to do something in my heart. You say, Pastor, why? Because I'm a man just like you. I've not arrived. The Apostle Paul's great a preacher as he was, he said, I've not yet attained. But he said, I follow after. I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus our Lord, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth to those things which are before. Thank God for the house of God. Thank God this morning for his people. You see, this building's dead till God's people get here. We bring the Lord with us. Say amen. We don't worship a building. We worship the Savior. We're his body. He's our head. Thank God, beloved, we're going to meet him one day soon. Let's bow for prayer this morning. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege to come into your presence once again today. Lord, in the evil day, especially in the evil day, Lord, we need to stand in the house of God. I pray, Lord, this morning for your people, God, that you'll help them. I know there's people here, Lord, who are downhearted today. Their hearts are broken. Lord, there's people here today who are suffering physically. There are people here today who don't know Jesus. God, I pray today that right here in the house of God, you'd meet the need. Meet the needs, Lord, of your precious people. Lord, help us to determine, Lord, just to determine by the grace of God to be faithful to your house. Lord, you've been faithful to us. Lord, you've been merciful. You've been gracious. You've been kind. Help us, Lord, to love one another with a pure heart fervently. I pray you'll meet the needs in this invitation. In Jesus' name. Let's stand together. We're going to have a song of invitation. If you need the altar this morning.